What if I told you you could be anywhere you want to be in just 3 years? It's true. By staying hyper-focused on your goals and purpose, you can make your vision a reality in just a few short years or even sooner. The trick is, you have to build the routine that will support you in getting there. The good news, we've already done the hard part for you. We created a free 5-minute morning routine tailored specifically to you. It's delivered straight to your inbox each morning, is designed to help you supercharge your mornings with clarity, focus, and inspiration. By committing to this 5-minute routine daily, you'll create total clarity on your purpose and goals, inspiration to help you build a lasting habit, and the life that you want in just 3 years. The best part, this tool is totally free. No strings attached, just valuable resources to help your inner and outer growth. So if you're looking for a short, easy morning routine that will help you, one, stay laser focused on your vision you have for your life, and two, help you make progress towards that vision every single day, head to adamhergenrother.com/future or visit the link in the show notes to create your future self today. I'm Adam Hergenrother, and this is Business Meets Spirituality. We believe in personal growth through business success. Today, my co-host Hallie and I are jumping into a wonderful question that she has for me.
Yes.
This is just an easy way to kind of get into it.
Yeah. So, we've talked about this before, like the mind is a tool. Like for me, the easiest way to think about it is like, let's just say your mind is like an iPhone or a computer. I like to just think of it that way. Something that's an object that I can use to achieve a result.
Yes.
But that's not what our mind does most of the time. So my question is, how do you tap into your mind? Like my phone's off right now, right? So how do I turn my mind off when I don't need it and turn it on when I need to use it as a tool? And when I say turn it off, it's all of those random Michael Singer calls them the automatic thoughts that just go throughout your mind constantly. How do I turn that off and then only tap into the mind to use as a tool rather than just have it like running constantly in the background all the time?
Yeah, it would be wonderful if there was like an iPhone button that was like, yeah. Okay, I'm just done listening to this
well,
mind
exactly.
Do
maybe,
its
maybe there will be
ultimate
someday.
Suffering. So I'm just going to go ahead and press this like neural link and I'm going to shut it down so I don't have to, which is, I mean, ultimately, isn't that what like alcohol does? Isn't that what drugs do? I mean, isn't that what like those things, what they're doing is they're distracting you from your thoughts.
Sometimes, or they make you even, your brain go crazy even
but
more.
Most people like it when like they drink alcohol, they're like, oh, I like to take the edge off because it actually lowers you. And so like it just starts to distract you from like vacations distract. Anyways, that's not the question, but like that's what starts to happen is like you kind of like want to be distracted from it and doesn't necessarily exist. So let me just go back to the first one. You will always be able, like some people ask like on this journey, they go, well, like why would I just let things go? Or why would I surrender to these things? I want to hold on to this experience, or I want to be able to remember somebody's name. That is not what we're talking about. The holding on to an experience that you didn't like all of a sudden, like when you're in eighth grade, somebody called you a name and you've now held on to that experience for a period of time and it haunts you. Cause that's really what comes back in is this event. So let me just back up for a second. There's an event that happens. And remember, every event has a vibrational frequency. You could call it its nature. You could call it a code. You could call it a frequency. I don't really know what else word, but it's basically got a pattern to it. Cause you bring in the scientists, the physicists, whoever you want to bring in, they're going to tell you that everything's energy, right? Mm-hmm. Which energy has a nature. Every energy has its nature, if you want to use that word. Or every energy has a code or a pattern or a vibrational frequency to it. Kind of like you turn to 6:20 a.m., that's a frequency. 7:40 a.m. is a different frequency, and you're going to tune into two different things. So everything has its own kind of frequency. Now, what we've labeled and what we've done is the frequencies, we've now said one's good, one's not good. And so the frequency that feels good, I really like. The frequency that the vibration of something that I don't like doesn't. Like, for instance, like, you know, I just, it's the simplest example and people use it. Yeah. It's like just, if there's a rattlesnake, right? Yeah. Like that vibrational frequency of a rattlesnake rattling feels different than a butterfly. Or you could use whatever animals in there. Like snakes for some reason, I was actually biking the other day and I had my head down, I was climbing this hill and like my feet are clipped into my bike. And so I can't remove them. And I was just kind of looking down, just sweating, climbing this big hill. And all of a sudden there's this snake right there. And I was about to run over its tail and I couldn't move and I couldn't get my foot out and it was down low. I thought it was going to bite me. And I was like, I was trying to pull my foot out, but I realized I was clipped in. So like luckily I was able to swerve right out of the way from it. But anyways, that experience, like right. It was a vibration that just all of a sudden during that experience, I was like, woof, it hit me. That pattern, that frequency of happened felt different than 2 seconds before that, right? That I was just watching the leaves fall. Like that was a different vibrational pattern.
But these are, okay, I'll bear with you. Yeah. Everything that you're saying to me feels like those are more of like, that's like your heart, your energy, your emotions. It's not your mind. I want to talk about the mind.
But hold on. But remember, I know, but remember what I'm telling you, why the mind actually does what it does. Okay, okay. So these patterns, and then we'll do it really quickly. That event happens, like me driving up there, all of a sudden it happened. Now all of a sudden I'm going like, the mind will instantly start talking about
then
it.
Then it takes over. Okay.
So then it goes over and goes like, my God, like, I can't believe you tried to pull your foot up. Like, what if it bit you? Like, what if it did this thing? Like, how many other snakes are on this road? Like, what if there's something bigger? Like, it just takes you down the mind now. If I started to resist,
that's the automatic thoughts.
Yes, that's the automatic. Like, yeah. I didn't go, mind, go create a bunch of suffering and tell me all the other things that a snake could happen while I'm on this road.
Or you also didn't say, mind, tell me the best way to navigate the rest of this trail so that I don't have
to. Yeah, no, I didn't like not have to ever see a snake.
Because it can be positive too. Yes.
So like, we'll get the positives, but like, so this event happens and now, if you don't actually allow it to come through, meaning like to allow it to work, it's finish its process, really is another way of saying it. Like if you don't allow the event to really work its way towards the center of you, the consciousness in there to actually make its way through you, because that's where it gets painful and you let it go through and it's just out. And then it's no longer stored. But what happens is we don't do that and we store it and saying, I didn't like the way this felt. And it's almost like you take energy and you push it back down. It's like you don't let it finish its through. You do this on the positive side too. Like you have a wonderful vacation or whatever it is, you want to hold on to it. Actually, somebody was telling me yesterday, they said, thanks for your thing in Project U. Like we came back from this vacation and somebody was challenging with like getting back in the reality of holding on to this vacation that they're just at for 2 weeks. And they're like, and they're just holding on to this whole event that has happened. It was a beautiful event. It was wonderful. But now they're here thinking that they wanted to be back there and you're missing out on life. So again, you can do it in both ways too. And you just store these things in the Buddhist call the push and cling to it. We've talked about before. So you've done this all your entire life, millions and millions of times. So now all these samskaras, if you will, it's a 2,000-year-old word that's basically just a way of saying you've stored these vibrational frequencies or codes inside you. Like a computer will store a code. Like if you type in Adam Hergenrother into a phone, it now stores it as Adam Hergenrother until it's deleted. So now it's in the phone, right? Same thing. You could call up and you could show me that information. So the data set is now stored in you about this experience that you've had. So then you're now driving along the road just normally, perfectly fine. And all of a sudden this thought just comes in there and it just ruins your day. And it could be about anything, about Sally driving a car or a boyfriend that you had or a girlfriend that you had or some, how you're going to fail in business because this economic shift's going to happen or like everyone's going to walk out on you or, I can't believe I didn't exercise today. Like I'm going to gain all this weight or whatever it is. Just it does all these things that you're talking about. Just 95% of the mind just comes in and starts talking. The thing that I'm going to tell you is you can't really stop it. It's a process that happens. It's not like an off button. And this is where people go wrong is when it starts to go in there and they start to pay attention to this and you start to meditate or do other things, you go in, man, this voice is pretty crazy. You can't stop it. So going in there and trying to stop it is literally like going in there and putting wood on a fire and wondering why it's not going out. Like you're just playing with the same energy. So it's being resisted against, right? So you're just, it's there. It's like playing tug of rope, if you're playing tug of war, right? And like you go in there and you get more people to pull, like you're still playing the game, you're just putting more energy on it, right? So it's all those different things. The other analogy that's really good to do is if you throw a rock into a pond and there's ripples and you're like, I don't like the ripples, you jump in the pond and try to smooth the ripples out. That's what people are doing with the mind. So it's not that you stop it, you just ignore it. You pay attention to it.
Yeah, so there's no real option of shutting it off. It's just more of,
it's a process to eliminate the samskaras, which then no longer need to be triggered, which will no longer cue the mind to do its thing. You get to a point,
but it still will on other things. Like it's still, your mind does still go, thoughts do come in. I guess maybe this, maybe not. Like I try to think of like the most enlightened or people, like, do they not have any automatic thoughts?
Well, I think if they do, then they're so far removed from where that person is that it's just like a mist that comes in and it's gone.
Right.
It just shows up it's just because there's so many thoughts that come into your mind. You just happen to pay attention to ones that you don't like, right? Or that you really like.
Or that you really like, right.
So you just pay attention to those you're putting in there. So the thought may show up.
Right.
It's just, you're so far removed from paying attention to the thought that it's gone faster than it comes in. Right.
But then when do you know that it's a thought that is a useful thought that you want to be able to use for something?
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure everyone listening to this knows the difference. Go do 2 times 2 in your head. You was in there, can do 2 times 2, and you tell me the answer was 4.
Yeah.
That feels different than a thought just showing up in there.
I know, but I guess what I'm saying is that sometimes those automatic random thoughts are actually like, I'm not telling my mind to think about that thing to give me a solution to something, but sometimes the solution just comes.
Yeah. I think there's a difference between having like an aha thought versus a thought that shows up that is trying, that's an unwillful thought. The aha thought, like the visual feeling, like you'd be in a class, you could be doing something, and all of a sudden you get this movement, but it's much more visceral. Like your whole body starts to move with it, right? You're going, it's like a whole pull. It's a big pull. It's not just mind generated. It becomes this big pull towards this movement or direction of it. And it's very consistent for a long period of time. I once heard Eckhart Tolle talk about this, about his book. He said that for years, he basically just sat with it, if you will, if you use that term, kept letting it go, and it didn't go away. And it built up stronger and stronger and stronger. So a technique you can use
until desire for him to write a book.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
So like the calling to write a book, I wouldn't think they'd want to use the word desire, but the calling for writing a book was deeper than the mind generated,
I need to go write a book.
I need to go write a book so that all of a sudden when I write a book, people think I'm cool or I'm writing it for others. And he's like, I wrote the book with zero expectation. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the main differences between the two is one will feel very like a visceral movement and it comes from a deeper spot and it will get stronger and stronger. It'll just do it, right? And then the other side of this is the mind just comes in, the thought comes in and it kind of naturally just goes away and doesn't show back up. Because it's like, it's from there. That's the difference in the two. I'll even give you an example of this in my personal life. So we made the decision to move to Stowe this year. And 4 years ago, when we first bought a house there, like I showed up there. And of course, the first thing was like, oh, I need to live here. Like, it was like, I just want to live here. Like it's only 40 minutes away from where I am now. So it's not like it's a different state, but like it is a mountain town. It's a wonderful life. Like the way I like to personally live, mountain biking and skiing and rivers and all that stuff on a daily basis. And just kind of being in the mountains. I sat with this for over 3 years. And like, I literally, this was like an exercise for me for 3 years. Every time I go up there and be like, oh man, I wish I just lived here. And I'm like, that's a mind thought. And I would just let it go. I just release it. Because there's one thing to release, and this is an interesting part of your growth. There's one thing to release a negative or unwanted thought that are like, you get to a point, and everyone's a different phase, but you get to a point where those become pretty easy because they just are negative and like they may be uncomfortable, but you just sit with everyone and you let them go. Mm-hmm. There becomes a new challenge when desire shows up and letting that one go is way harder. From my own personal experience, because it feels so good to want to indulge in the desire for whatever that is, right? That buying something.
Right. That immediate gratification.
Yeah, exactly. Like there's something about like just, or like, you know, whatever it is. So like for me, like that was the next phase in my growth was how do you let go of desire? Or how do you let go of wanting something in life, right? Without, and then, cause then the mind will instantly go in there and go, well, you have the money to do it. Right? Like it's not a desire if you let go of the outcome of it. Right? Like, so there's all these things that the mind will start to do and you really got to pay attention to that. So you just kind of let all that go. And then ultimately what ended up happening was my kids actually the ones made the decision. Like they were a part of this camp and they came back and I was like, yeah, it'd be really cool to live here. And they're like, let's do it. And I'm like, really? This is on a Friday. Right. And I'm like there. And Sarah's like, yeah, I'd love to. I love that I only have one house. So I didn't have to pack up and do this different thing. I'm like, you guys serious? And Monday morning we enrolled our kids. So like, it wasn't like they're loving every aspect of this. It just, and everything just unfolded. Like when we put our house sold, like just everything unfolded exactly the way it was supposed to. But it was not like a mind generated, like, oh, we should move here because then it'll support. It was just on a Friday, they brought that up and I go, really? And they go, yes. And then it happened. It just, you found yourself doing it. I don't know how else that you just kind of, it's just movement of doing that. It's like when you're in the zone, it's kind of that same thing.
So everything you're saying to me sounds like, so we've got the automatic thoughts that we don't really want us to pay attention to. Then we have almost these other insights that are like, they might
move
you into different directions, but then all of that's great. And then how do you willfully and use your mind as a tool?
How do you pull up a memory? You know how to do that. You don't need any explanation on that. How do you seriously? Like, I don't think that's not the hard part. Everyone knows how to do that.
The hard part is
not so paying attention.
My question is dumb. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that at all. That's your mind saying that. I'm saying that like nobody listening to this can't pull up. You know exactly how.
Yeah. So it's just like, I need to go write this email. Okay, great. I use my mind to go write the email.
Exactly. How do you do it? You know, you pull up your, like, tell me what your sister's name is. You pull up your memory to do that. Like, I don't think anybody needs help explaining how to pull up memories. And it's always available.
Well, using your mind as a tool is not just about memories.
I know, but that's the example. Like, using your mind as a tool to go write a thesis. Okay, great. Then you go down there and you start making a list of things
it's
you need to do.
It's all the other stuff that's the problem.
Yeah, when you're in there studying for something, like, you're in it. You're studying. You're not going, oh my God, if I don't get this exam right or I don't get this thing right, you can be doing whatever you're doing and then have the mind chattering about negativity. Like, if you're writing a business plan, you could be writing the business plan using your mind, but if the mind starts going, this sucks, I can't believe you write this, if this, you're going to do this thing over here, like, everyone's going to think you're a failure, like, how could you even think about you could even run a business, like, that type of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. That's unwillful thoughts, right? Those are the things you just get rid of. Like, oh, I want to go exercise. Great. Like, you know how to go put your shoes on and go for a walk or a run. It's not why you're doing that. Why would I even exercise? I can't even do this anymore. See, I told you I can't run. My knee hurts now. You're not doing any of that. And this,
well, I mean, most people are doing all of that.
Yes.
You're just saying, just don't
pay attention to it. Don't just let it. And that's surrender. What you're surrendering to is the unwillful thoughts that come in or emotions that just show up that are not bringing anything. And then you allow them to release. And then as you release more and you release more, you have less and less of those thoughts showing up because there's nothing there to hit it. When there's nothing no longer there within you, stored experiences that it can hit, then you don't necessarily feel it anymore. You'll feel it in the moment. Like, somebody walks up to you and says, man, like, you just look like shit today. Like, you may, and they're really serious, and like, you should go put some new clothes on or whatever. In that moment, you may go, huh, I felt weird. And then you turn around and it's gone. Like, in the moment, you're going, huh, it's an interesting experience having Hallie say that to me. Right? Okay. You turn around and now it's out. And now you can use your mind and go, do I or do I not? Right? Mm-hmm. Then you can make that decision, but you're not going, how come she would say that to me? Like, is there something about it? Is she having a bad day? Like, who knows?
And then you think about it for the next, like, three weeks.
Until then you realize, like, a week later, you happen to see Hallie again and she's like, you know, I was just having a really bad day. I'm so sorry. I can't believe I even said that. It was all about me. And you're going, oh, thank you. Right? And then all of a sudden you're better.
Yeah.
It's just, that's the difference. Hey, thanks for hanging with Hallie and I today and for listening to the show. However, if you are interested in getting a short email from me in your inbox each Tuesday when a new episode drops, you can. These emails are super short. I just cover whatever I happen to be thinking about each week, whether that's an article or a quote I've shared, a book I've read, or a new product that I'm loving, plus info on the latest episode of Business Meets Spirituality. If that sounds like something you want to check out, we'd love you to. Just go to adamhergenrother.com/email.